From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. John Mason is reporting in the Register-Star that the plan to allow hotels to be sited in Hudson's Southern Waterfront District was given an environmental pass by the Common Council at its formal meeting on Tuesday, March 15th. The council also had to declare itself lead agency since no other bodies can amend the city's zoning law. The measure under consideration by the council will create a new zoning district in the Southern Waterfront area that will include, and I quote, hotel, end quote, as a conditionally permitted use. The area affected is bounded by South Front Street to the west, Cross Street to the north, Tanner's Lane to the east, and the Industrial District to the south. The measure now goes before the city and county planning boards. Following that review, the council must hold a public hearing before a vote can be taken. The Redburn Development Companies have plans to purchase the former Katz Warehouse building, now the StageWork Performance Space, located within the proposed new district at 41 Cross Street, and convert the building into a 55-room hotel. You can read that full story in the Register-Star. The Daily Mail reports election results from March 15th village elections in Tannersville and Hunter. For trustee, Republican Lee McGonigal got 33 votes, and Democrat Brian Walsh got 17, with two unnamed write-in votes. In Hunter, trustee Alan Higgins got 55 out of 60 votes cast, according to the paper's Facebook page. The Daily Mail reports that in Athens, two incumbents, village trustee Peter Alberti, a Republican, with 230 votes, and Gail Lasher, a Democrat, getting 175 votes, won re-election for the two open seats on the village board. Shannon Spinner, a Republican, finished third with 150 votes. In Coxsackie, Diane Ringwald, a Republican, got 49 votes, and Joseph Ellis, running on both Republican and Democrat lines, got 46 votes with four unnamed write-in votes. The Register-Star reports Columbia County election results from March 15th village elections. Kinderhook voters chose James Dunham on the Van Buren party line with 310 votes over Rima Bostic, running on the Responsible Party line with 125 votes. Richard Phillips with 293 votes on the Van Buren party line and Robert Baumeister with 183 votes on the People's Party line took the two open trustee seats, beating Peter Hunter with 150 and Stephen Bean with 149 votes, both on the Freedom Party line. Incumbent Village Justice David Delahunt, running unopposed, got 338 votes. Village races in Philmont and Valencia were uncontested. Two candidates seeking the two-year seats open on the Philmont Village Board of Trustees were the village's former clerk treasurer, Eileen Morris, running on the Heritage Party line, who got 43 votes, and incumbent Brian Johnson on the Heritage Party line got reelected to his seventh two-year term with 44 votes. In Valencia, incumbents Angelo Nero got 43 votes and David Williams got 42 votes, both winning another two-year term. Carrie Allen in the Chatham Courier reports that on March 15th, Lenore Packett and Gunnar Warden, incumbents on the Chatham United Party line, were reelected to the village board for another 2 years, virtually unopposed. Packett, on her third term in Chatham, got 82 votes and Warden received 80 votes for his second term and first election after being appointed for Adrian Morrell. There were also two write-in votes, though the paper does not say who was named. You can read that full story in the Chatham Courier. The Catskill Democratic Committee Facebook page reports that incumbents Vincent Seeley and Stanley Duchesne retained their seats on the Catskill Village Board. Seeley, a registered Republican running on the Democratic and Independence lines, got 290 votes. Duchesne, a Republican, got 237 votes to keep their seats. Republican Joel Shanks finished third with 191 votes, and Democrat Lillian Johnson got 170 votes. Matthew Hamilton reports at Capital Confidential that it is Sunshine Week in Albany, a period to focus on government transparency, but there is little movement on ethics reform there. NYPRG's Blair Horner said of the three ethics proposals in the state capitol, and I quote, "In Albany, unfortunately, the curtains are tightly drawn when it comes to what the public can see in all these deliberations. When it comes to ethics, where within a year, both legislative leaders have been arrested, indicted, and convicted of corruption in a state where there is no public hearing about it. What we see are nothing from the state Senate and almost sort of a dartboard approach to what the outside income limit should be in the assembly, end quote. The Assembly Democratic Committee released its ethics plan March 11th that includes a proposed cap on lawmakers' outside income at $69,600, a number Common Cause New York Susan Lerner called arbitrary. In the Senate, the Republicans don't want any income limit. Senator George Amador, Republican Rotterdam, said, and I quote, "It's a horrible idea. It's a horrible idea. The last thing we need is a bunch of full-time politicians to make public policy that dictate how much government needs to be in all of our lives," end quote. Instead, the Republicans' ethics plan creates 8-year term limits on leadership positions and strips pensions from public officials convicted of corruption. Governor Andrew Cuomo's plan would limit lawmakers' outside income to 15% of a lawmaker's base salary, less than $12,000 a year. The Assembly is also discussing closing the so-called LLC loophole, which allows single donors to give unlimited amounts of money to campaigns. New York Public Interest Research Group Legislative Director Blair Horner said about the recent New York scandals, and I quote, "At the heart of both the Dean Skelos and the Sheldon Silver scandals were limited liability companies that were either allowing no-show jobs or funneling in business to campaign contributions or both," end quote. The Columbia County Board of Elections has announced new voters can register by Friday, March the 25th for the presidential primary. The primary will be held on Tuesday, April 19th from noon until 9 p.m. for all eligible Democrats and Republican voters. Eligible voters include those who have been enrolled in either party since October 2015 or voters newly registered in Columbia County who have chosen to enroll in either of those two parties. The Columbia County Board of Elections is located at 401 State Street in Hudson. The board is open 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. The board can be reached at 518-828-3115 or online at ColumbiaCountyNewYork.com. Now here's Andrea Sears reporting from the New York News Connection for the Public News Service on groups opposed to changes in New York's FOIL law.
Advocates of greater government transparency in New York are opposing two proposed changes to the state's Freedom of Information Law, or FOIL, and Governor Cuomo's budget bills. John Caney, director of the group Reinvent Albany, says when people or organizations are forced to sue for access to public records, they almost always win. But one proposed change would make it harder for them to recover attorney's fees.
The main reason the public won't go to court is because of the cost of the attorney's fees. And unfortunately, we see this bill as a step backwards that will essentially weaken FOIL.
Organizations including the New York Public Interest Research Group, the NYCLU, and Common Cause New York have sent an open letter to legislative leaders asking them to significantly improve or reject the proposals. The second proposal would create an exemption in the law for information about what is termed critical infrastructure. According to Caney, the law already says any information that would endanger the life or safety of any person isn't subject to disclosure.
The concern here is that this exception will be used as an excuse not to provide the public with records about big infrastructure projects like, say, the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Caney says with the growing number of state elected officials being forced from office for corruption or unethical behavior, the Freedom of Information Law is the most basic transparency tool the public has.
You would think that the governor and the legislature would want to strengthen that in reaction to public dismay and anger over the corruption scandals, but that's not what's happening right now.
Caney points out that, perhaps ironically, this is officially Sunshine Week, when the need for public access to public information is highlighted and celebrated nationally. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting patchy drizzle before 3 p.m., then showers likely, mainly after 5 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 61 degrees. The chance of precipitation is 60%. On Wednesday night, occasional showers, mainly before 2 a.m., with a temperature low at 43 degrees. The chance of precipitation for Wednesday night is 80%. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Thursday, isolated showers between 11 a.m. and noon, then scattered showers and thunderstorms afternoon. Some of those storms could produce small hail and gusty winds. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 59 degrees. But Thursday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 38. And on Friday, A chance of rain showers before 11 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 42 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 24. Sunrise today was at 7.03 a.m., and the sun will set at 7.04 p.m., providing us with 12 hours and 1 minute of daylight. That is 3 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Wednesday, the 16th day of March, 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.